This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Have a clip you want to set it up for us?
I'd like to, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, we'll just roll it.
And now, the whole show's clip of the day.
All right, clip of the day. Let's get back into some Avs talk here. You know, there's always a lot of pressure on Jared Bednar. There just seems to be, and obviously getting past the second round is huge. He's not going anywhere, but there was at least kind of the thought that, man, if you can't get this team over the top, maybe you look elsewhere. But I love what Jared Bednar had to say in this clip. That's our clip of the day. Just about the expectations surrounding the Colorado Avalanche. Here's Coach Jared Bednar.
It's hard to win, okay? That's number one. But I wouldn't want it any other way. What I don't think our players would want it any other way. I don't think the players that join our team at the deadline, the guys that have been here for years, would want it any other way. Now, you're leaving yourself open to a lot of criticism because it's always just like cup or bust, and every time you lose in the first round, second round, whatever it is, you know, people are going to get on you because you didn't win the cup. But I'd still rather be fighting for that, like having earned that type of reputation because of the way you play in the through the regular season and the group that you put together as an organization and the high expectations, rather than, well, let's just try and make the playoffs, you know? Like, there's a lot of teams doing that. And there's a lot of teams in our league that I think are cup or bust and that still haven't won in the time that I've been here. So, and we're only halfway home, you know? We could be leaving ourselves open to criticism later on in this year if things don't go well. But it's the way you want it. You got to build a team that you think can compete for it, and then you're going to have to get a lot of luck on the way, and you're going to have to play some really good hockey to make it happen. So it is what it is. That's the world of sports.
All right, there's Jared Bednar. And I think that sometimes we just, as sports fans, you just take a step back and appreciate, really. I know he hasn't gotten out of the second round a whole heck of a lot, but the fact that the Avs are, every year we're talking about them since, what, 2016, being in the deep conversation, being a favorite, is a lot better than just hoping they get into the playoffs. We've got the dude down the hall, Derbs, joining us, Tanner Schwint.
How's it going?
You're on with Brian, I believe.
Yeah, Brian.
Great to have you guys in the Aloe Fiber studios with me today.
Oh, I'm excited to be here, and it took us 30 seconds, and I couldn't disagree with you more already.
About Jared Bednar?
Yeah, oh, boo-hoo. Oh, we've got expectations. It's so hard to do that, but I'd rather be doing this to be on a bad team. You've got the easiest job in the league, man. Oh. You've got the easiest job in the league. You got Nathan McKinnon, you got Cale Makar, and you've got a GM that goes out there every single year. 17 trades in the last 2 years for the Colorado Avalanche to get it done. I don't even know what Mike's doing.
You're upsetting Michael.
Sorry, Mike, but boo-hoo, cry me a river. You know, it's hard to have these expectations.
I don't care.
They still don't get it done.
Superstars on a roster.
These superstars, you can, because Nathan McKinnon and Cale Makar are two of the most selfless dudes you're ever going to come across. They still don't get it done this year. Bednar needs to be gone. I said it at the start of the playoffs. I say it now. I know it's easy to get blind, you know. If they don't make the Stanley Cup, 1,000% I am. 1,000%. I said it at the beginning, if they don't win it this year with this roster, you know,
there's plenty of great teams that don't win championships every year.
Yeah, the Avs have been that team since 2022.
Yes, Michael.
And if the Avs don't win, he's also trading Cale Makar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now you're Derbs, it,
what do you think of that, man? That's wild stuff there.
A wildly terrible take, as per usual.
Pretty bad. Pretty bad.
I mean, there's honestly like a handful of coaches in the NHL that I'm like, man, that guy's pretty good at his job. And then the rest of them, it just comes to talent and luck. Like, the game just moves in mysterious ways. You know, I was watching Montreal and Buffalo yesterday, and there were four goals out of, in the, like, the basically the first 15 minutes that half of them were just bouncing off of bodies. So you can't just go, ah, gosh, that's the coach's fault there. Man, he is terrible at his job. Like, we got to find somebody else to get us some luck out there.
I just, yeah. I mean, how many teams over the years? This is my problem. I never like firing coaches that make it to the Super Bowl or make it to the to their conference finals, because that, I mean, that's about as, they got a cup a couple of years ago, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if he would have, somehow they don't get past the second round, but I think once you get past that second round, these are all contenders now. These are all big-time
contenders.
Vegas
is a fraud. If this Western Conference Finals goes past five games, it's not good for the Avalanche. I mean, I think you look at it, this is a team in Vegas. And Derbs, you can talk to this a little bit more than I can even. But the NHL, boy, do they love firing coaches and rehiring. You talk about recycled coaches. Boy, does the NHL love doing that. You look at what Vegas did. Hey, we're 11 games out from the playoffs. Let's fire our head coach that got us here. Let's bring in John Tortorella because he's an a-hole, and that'll fire the group up. Now, it's worked for him, but will Tortorella be there for longer than a year or two? No. You just saw that with Patrick Waugh. He got fired from the Islanders with four games left, and guess who they hired? Our good friend Pete DeBoer, who is the head coach down at the Dallas Stars. This is what happens in the NHL. And so for Bednar to say, like, oh, you know, I'd rather it be this way. Well, no crap you'd rather it be this way. Otherwise, you'd be looking for a job. I think any other organization that had this level of talent on this team and has only had one cup, and really, that was the only deep playoff run.
There is a lot. Bednar
be looking for a job somewhere. We just saw
with
Edmonton's coach.
There are a lot of asterisks there, though, for the Avalanche. I'm sorry, but what happened with Val Nichushkin for two playoff runs, you're without your captain, which maybe he's not the same guy that he was 5 years ago on the ice, but that... We just talked about this the other day. That C word, that captain, is the most important thing in hockey. It doesn't matter who the captains are. We all know the quarterback's the captain. You can put special teams guys as captains or whatever. It doesn't matter. But in hockey, that means something, so much so that they didn't name a captain while he was gone. So
to your point, he did lead the Avs in ice time in game number five. Gabriel Landeskog, from the forwards' perspective, not the defense. So yeah, you're not wrong.
Well, was like, wasn't he the star of the playoffs before he went out against that? Wasn't that in Seattle right?
Year. Yeah.
So I do think there were a lot of crazy things that happened to the Avs,
and
that
that's
might have kept
his
them
job.
From winning a cup, but. He's an excellent coach.
I think he's a good coach, but like that clip makes no sense to me. Like that's like the no duh. This is no duh. You'd rather have expectations on you.
I think he was asked about pressure on him specifically every single year, especially going into the second round. And I think he's just acknowledging that, hey, Avs fans, we could be in a hope we make the playoffs kind of thing. The pressure is a privilege, all that stuff. I liked it. Everything Bednar does right now. I mean, the dude gets hit in the face with a puck, and you know he's still like the best looking coach that Colorado's ever had.
Not anywhere close.
You don't fire the guy. Just plain and simple. You don't fire a guy like that.
If they don't make the Stanley Cup, you absolutely do. If you don't make the Stanley Cup Finals, you absolutely do. And I love the dude too. And he has been pulling the right levers on this deal perfectly throughout these playoffs. Who they're starting, who they go to acquire, how they're using them. We gave him a bunch of a hard time.
He's going to come in and be better than Jared Bednar.
We gave him a hard time about the power play. He fixed the power play. And so I don't see that happening. But the point still remains, if you can't do it with this team, he's not the guy that's going to be able to do it again.
There's 25 other teams in the National Hockey League that will fire their coach right now if Jared Bednar becomes available and go, we want to go get him.
Why is he consistently never in for the awards?
Because it's luck. It's just it's luck and it's availability and on the ice, like, they're not...
But he's overlooked for the coaching awards all the time. He wasn't even invited to be on the Canadian coaching staff. And those are from inside hockey knowers, right? And so he always gets overlooked. At a certain point, you got to say, okay, what do they see about Bednar that we don't?
It's got to be expectations because they're built to win every single year. So if you have those expectations every single year, you just become a part of the norm. Like they're never the underdog ever. Like they haven't been the underdog basically since they moved to Colorado in 96. Like they've had a couple of bad seasons, but the rest of them are playoff led teams. So the expectations are they're already there. Like, so when you don't win a Stanley Cup, what was he supposed to do? Is he supposed to win like 5 out of 6 Stanley Cups?
Get out of the first round the last couple of years? Would have been
nice. You're running into quality teams at all. Like the playoff seeding, then go into all of that. It is just wildly
terrible.
I agree
with you on that 100%.
But like the playing field is so equal in hockey that the parity is a real thing, and I just don't it's not a coach's fault out there 95% of the time.
Texter says it's not wine at 9 anymore, put the alcohol down.
That's where my best takes come
I
from.
Get what you're saying. I guess I just look at those and I say who's going to come in and do what Bednar is. Losing to Dallas is nothing to be ashamed of because that felt like it was the Stanley Cup, the actual Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, who can come in and do it better? I don't have that answer for you right now, but I don't think, I honestly think you throw Derbs behind that bench and they have almost this level of success out there.
I'll take it.
I figured you would. Like, I mean, and like, let's not forget too that what Chris McFarland's doing in that general manager role. You talk about 25 other teams would fire their coach. 29 other teams would quit their job to come and coach this Avalanche team between Chris McFarland and his aggressive moves of continuously doing what you love, Derbs, when it comes to hockey and all sports, pushing the chips into the middle of the table and then saying, figure it out. And yeah, with that, does that come more pressure on Bednar and that team to perform? 1,000%. But if you don't get the ultimate goal and the ultimate prize this year, it can be just time for a change of voice in the locker room. It could be.
I'm just
the case.
Never a guy. I trust me. I love having the fire the coach conversation. But when you get there or close to there, I just have a hard time saying, yeah, we're going to, because it's tighter. And you guys have you know this with the NHL, with the Stanley Cup playoffs. It is different. It is a completely different season. And you might say Vegas is a pretender, but the playoffs tends to bring the best out in you. And if we see a hell of a series, then I'm not going to look at that and say, well, you're playing down to a lesser team. Teams get hot.
Yeah,
teams really get going.
The only way that I give a pass is if they end up losing this somehow. There's two ways. Injury. If a McKinnon, a Natchez, a McCarr injury happens, okay, pass. And the only other thing is that if Carter Hart just gets unbelievably hot for the Vegas Golden Knights, which can happen. He's a good goalie, but those are the only two reasons that if the Avs lose the series that I hang on and retain Jared Bednar.
But you're making the excuse. You're putting it on the players again. So if a player gets injured, it's Jared Bednar's fault that they didn't win?
No, that's what I'm saying. If he gets injured, then you retain him. Like if somebody gets injured, it's one of those key players gets injured in this. But if they just get
beat. But what
beat,
if your goalie is terrible? Is that Jared Bednar's fault?
At a certain
point, Wedgwood suddenly comes back down to earth.
Then why have a coach, right? If it's just saying it's on the players, then why have a coach?
We have to have the guy that makes the line changes, the decisions, and then puts
the
Bednar's guys
in the right
place.
Excellent at that with the goalie decisions. I thought he waited too long with Mackenzie Blackwood the other night.
But like when we look at David Adelman or Michael Malone, we can say there are several things that they've done inside a game where we just flat out go, what are we doing here? Can you say that about Bednar?
Throughout the season, during that rough patch through the season, some of the line combinations didn't make a whole lot of sense. But he's got the third set of defensemen on this team would start for how many teams in this league, Derbs? Would they be the number one? I mean,
none.
No, you don't think any of them?
No.
You don't think the I think
Malinsky and Kulak are the number one?
I think Malinsky and Kulak start on at least a handful of teams in the NHL. 100%. And that's what I'm saying. Like the second line for the Avs is out there and playing. They just have so much talent that at a certain point they don't get it done. It's got to fall on somebody, and it's got to be Bednar. Because Chris McFarland, the trades he's been able to make, he's been able to do what the Denver Nuggets haven't been able to.
And McFarland should be praised. But if Scott Wedgwood gives up 6 goals in game 1 and they lose, Then we that's who McFarland brought in. That was a hell of a but then we look at that and say, well, the
yeah, what was the defensive line? What was the defensive alignments in front of him? What was game plan by Bednar going into it? Like that is the point of a coach. So again, I love Bednar. I'm not sitting here banging the table and saying fire the guy. I'm just saying, of course you love the pressure. What, do you want to be stuck somewhere and just want to be coaching a bad hockey team?
So what would you have rather him say there?
What was the question that was asked to him?
He was just asked, you know, how do you handle this? How do you view this
handling
every
the
year?
Lucky
every dealing with this pressure.
Lucky to be here. Got great players. Next, PR consultant. Right now,
what he said was awesome.
Interesting creature.
How can you hate what he said? I don't get it. All right,
Jerbs is going to call me a mean name right there.
20 minutes after the hour, the Denver Broncos schedule is out. We don't even need to see the season because Michael gave his predictions earlier on the season and how the Broncos are going to do. And you'll be shocked, but they're not losing, guys.
What?
Yeah.
Mike is not predicting a loss this year?
He doesn't, like...
He's not even alive
No, he's not alive right now. Prediction. Golden Knights Avalanche. How many games does this go?
I want to say it goes 6, but I think it's going to go 5.
Magical, isn't
how
it?
Do you pick... Any other team but Washington. Like, is Washington going to lose this year?
How many games is Washington going to win this year?
I don't know.
I don't even care what sport. Pick any of them.
Just throw out, are they a bowl team?
Probably.
Okay, see, but he said probably.
Probably.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that means they're going to lose games.
So there's one team in Michael's world that will never, ever lose ever again.
And he's a big Avs fan. He is a big, and he loves his Washington Huskies.
Go Dogs.
But he knows you can be real. But with the Broncos, it's just not real, and it's fascinating to me.
There's no purple Kool-Aid. There's no burgundy Kool-Aid running through my veins. There's only orange Kool-Aid.
What about blue?
Yeah.
Orange and blue, but yeah.
He's a big Clemson Tigers fan.
That would be purple if you put them together, Michael.
Yeah, and if your blood's purple, which it actually is before it's oxygenated, in good spot.
Mm-hmm. How about that?
That's not true. It actually looks purple, but it's always red.
That's not true.
You're not healthy.
If it looks purple, it is purple.
Correct.
Like,
look at your veins, Mike. You can see that. Boy, I need to drink some water.
I've been drinking a lot of water today. 22 minutes after the hour. Well, that's what the texters are saying. Smitty says, well, actually, they're saying you need a drink.
Oh, yeah.
Other texters
bring
saying
one in.
You had too much.
No.
Too little.
Just
too
negative little. Nancy today.
I'm just saying.
Already.
Oh, I'm so.
Don't talk. If you're a coach, don't talk. Don't say anything. We'll be right back.
Baseball can be heard right here.
Take me out to the ball game.
A Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition. Every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Seven minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Great. Now we have people talking about blood.
You missed
the
truffle shuffle, by the way. I just did it.
You just did the truffle shuffle?
Derbs. Mm-hmm.
I watched it.
He has the truffle shuffle shirt on, and you won't do the truffle shuffle.
It's Brady's best way of calling me a fat.
No, you're wearing the same shirt
slob.
From the Goonies.
Oh, every time I wear it, he's like, oh, you look fat today,
No, I
Tanner.
Just say do the
it's
truffle shuffle.
It's got to be an HR violation. Who's HR this week?
I don't think
I
so.
I am.
Okay,
I think
good.
It's Bruce.
Oh, he's...
Do the truffle shuffle then.
No, stop calling me fat, dude.
970 texting, blood is actually blue until it hits oxygen.
Your face is blue until it
turns
hits
red.
Oxygen.
According to the Cleveland
Shut
Clinic,
up, Micah. No one cares.
It is always
no one
a
cares.
Shade of red.
That's just not true. That is just factually. I had it wrong when
My
I said
blood
purple.
Is red.
My blood is red, white,
red, blood.
Red, white, and blue.
Yeah, that's
America.
What I bleed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Derbs? Is yours gravy? Yeah,
America.
Yeah.
Well, the Broncos schedule is out, and Michael, of course, is predicting them to go undefeated. I'm leaning on the 9 or 10.
Yeah? Yeah. I got them 11-6.
That's pretty good.
I got them 11-6. I got them starting 2-4 in that six-game stretch. I think that it's going to be Justin Fields starting out there in Missouri. I think it's going to be Justin Fields starting that game. No. There's that just, and even if it is Mahomes, it's not going to be the same.
They don't schedule that game for that time if Patrick Mahomes is not playing.
It's still the Chiefs. I mean, it's still the Chiefs and the Broncos. Like, I think you've got to put some of that in there now. The Broncos are a draw. What did I see? 5 primetime games?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was good. I thought some of the schedule announcements were okay. I also think that this is easily the most overrated thing that the NFL does, the schedule release day.
I mean, but they own it.
It's dumb. It's dumb.
It's become a thing.
Just put it out at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, though. Stop waiting for prime time. Give us all something to take a break from our work, which we work really hard, and let us just go through the schedule and do that. I think it's overrated. But
man, you don't like anything. Do you like anything? That's Michael back there. You're becoming Michael.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Right, Mike?
I just called the Broncos 11-6. 6 losses this year. What do you got them at, Derbs? You got the schedule?
Yeah, I lean more towards single digits. I just think everybody got a little bit.
I'm a little closer to the 9 than I am 10.
But they had a long ways to go, because I was falling into that trap, too. Like, I think the only team that didn't necessarily get substantially better in the AFC West were the Chargers. I Kansas City's not going to have a repeat. The Raiders, I think, got substantially better. But they had a long way to go to catch up to where the Broncos were last year. And, yeah, they did have a softer schedule last season. But that defense is legit, and they're running almost everybody back on that defensive side of the ball. And you added a huge playmaker in Jaylen Waddle. I don't think they probably win the division with that 11-6 record, but I think they get into the playoffs as a wild card.
Yeah, I think that first 6 games, because I'm with you, I don't know how we get there, but I have them going 2-4.
You have them winning that first one?
I do have them actually beating Kansas City.
I had them win, loss.
I have them losing to Jacksonville and Los Angeles.
Okay.
And then winning on the road against San Francisco.
Okay.
And then losing the next 2, which would be at Los Angeles and home against Seattle.
Yeah. But there's a serious chance that they could not win any of those. Those are all real
ball
clubs.
There's a realistic chance you could be 0-6.
You don't put Denver in that same category of real ball clubs. Who's being negative now, Derbs?
I am with this. I'll hand up here. But the NFL in parity is much bigger than everything else. So just to say they were good last year means that they're going to win 11 to 14 games this year, I just think is tough. But they play, their out-of-conference schedule is not real favorable. I mean, they get the Dolphins and the Jets. Other than that, all of those are real ball clubs.
And I don't think New England will be this year. I don't think New England will be to that same level. And it very well could be Denver that's not to that same level, too, which I'm not predicting them to be. I think they do take a little bit of a slide back. I think they're still competitive in all those games, but I have them 11-6 instead of 14-3.
They better figure out how to not slow start all the time.
Yes.
That's what I worry about.
In the season.
That's what I worry about with Bo. I think everything, if Bo becomes tier one quarterback, there's your 11-plus win. If he remains tier two quarterback, I think they're an average type team.
I think you just drilled on why we're a little different where we're at.
I think Bo
is a tier one quarterback, and you guys don't.
In the last 7 minutes of a game, he's tier one.
No, throughout all of last season, I think he was.
I don't think he was.
I think he's been incredible, he's had no offensive weapons to work with.
There were several games where he just... It was bad. It was 3 and out. It was punt. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of that. And I think everybody forgot that when he got hurt. If Bo Nix is in, guarantee win against the Patriots, even though they're in a blizzard, they probably win the Super Bowl against Seattle.
Oh.
I think we forget that he had stretches in games, and the offense had stretches in games. They just didn't do anything.
No, they for sure did. But again, no offensive weapons. I honestly, truly believe that Jaylen Waddle is going to be that big of a difference maker.
I think he will be a difference maker, but I don't know if suddenly this offense goes from having seven or eight stalls to, you know, to, oh, now it's pretty much they're always driving down the field.
I think that performance against Buffalo in the playoffs is going to do something big for Bo, too. I mean, he did it on the biggest stage. He did it and won a playoff game on the biggest stage. And I think, you know, because we always talk about that sophomore slump, he didn't really have that. And I get that there's the defensive side of the ball is elite, but he never really had that sophomore slump. So that year three, you see those rookies who were rookie sensations, sophomore slump, and then you see him get back to the norm in that year three. And if he gets better than he was last year, yeah, the Broncos are going to be just fine.
I think there's a lot that goes on Bo.
Yeah, and if there's a luck metric out there to describe the Denver Broncos season, they have to lead the league in luck, favorable luck, because a lot of those teams just absolutely blew the fourth quarter away in our favor, just handing the ball to us. The Giants game, well, I mean, in particular.
You catch Cincinnati when they're in a weird
spot.
Burrow. They beat Philadelphia, and that was a big one, but didn't Philadelphia lose to the Giants like the week before or the week after? You were terrible against the Jets. Let's not forget how bad that was.
The Chiefs with Oluwakagabugu.
Oluwakagabugu.
Oluwadukin.
Yeah. That guy. Yeah. Street fighter character.
Yeah. There's again, a lot of these are just interesting games where they caught, you know, look at Houston. They were without a few of their studs.
Yeah, they were better with Davis Mills, though, than they were with C.J. Stroud in that game. I get it, but that stuff's going to happen again. You're going to catch teams in good and bad spots throughout the course of the season. The fact that they took advantage of it says a lot because, the Giants game is the one that I'll give you credit. Like, they came back and they beat the Eagles. The Eagles started resting on their laurels, and the Broncos figured something out, found a way to do it. The Giants game, you play that game that exact same way 100 times, that might be the only one they win, but they capitalize on it. That's what good teams or great teams do, is they capitalize on those miscues that are either created or handed to them.
I just don't think you want that situation again. Like you said, it's going to happen again, but not to the extreme of this, I don't
for
think.
Sure.
Because that was exceptionally one direction.
And that's why I took three games off, right? I mean, because we could argue three games for sure. You know, you give yourself the Giants, and you pick two, and then we could have those arguments. I don't think they win 14 games again. I think they win 11, and I think it's tight to get into the wild card. So I'm taking that into account. That's why I'm saying 11-6 here on May 15th.
36 minutes after the hour. We'll get to the week in review coming up next. But first, Michael, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hall.
Forty-one minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back. We got a little mini meeting of the mindless going on with the dude down the hall and Truffle Shuffle.
Standard. Stop calling me fat, dude.
I know,
right before the race. Oh, Tanner's fat. I'm going to beat him in that. Oh, Tanner's fat wearing that shirt.
It's about your shirt, not about your obesity.
I get beat out of it. Thanks, stay Michael. Out of it.
What a beat out of it.
Beat out of it.
That's pretty good.
Beat it.
Talking a little bit more about the Broncos, of course, and I don't know. Everyone's doing their predictions, and you guys, you did your predictions too. Obviously, there's going to have to be reset when we get closer to the actual season.
Brian did this exact same date last year. The host of Brian and Friend, 6-10, nailed it. 14-3, nailed it last year. He's got him going 14-3.
He's got him going 14-3 again.
Again, he picked the Broncos to go 14-3 last year. 2 years ago, he nailed it to the win, the Colorado Rockies record in a full season. So,
wow, that's pretty
hopefully
good.
That trend continues, because if that is the case, and we all went way too low on the Denver Broncos.
I didn't.
Your pigs don't count, Mike. They just don't count.
Another source says blood is red.
We started this thing on the morning show on Good Morning NoCo.
We're done with that.
We're going to do, Derbs, I didn't know. I don't know what you think of it. We're going to do on picks are on Friday. Everyone knows. We're thinking about doing that on Good Morning NoCo.
Thanks, Mike.
It's what?
It's Brady's thing. You're not allowed to say that.
I have never
heard
that before.
Trying to say that on your show today, and it's great that it has taken off and it's a global, you know,
I have never
phenomena. Yeah,
I have never heard of this
phenomena.
Before.
Yeah, picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, that's what we're testing out on the
morning
show.
You guys can't do picks You can't do
but
it.
We did.
And you can't do it on Friday. You can pick any other
we
time.
We did on Friday.
But you
I don't
can't
understand.
Really talk
what,
about
where
it.
Does this come from? Why are you guys? Why are you guys saying that I can't do this? I've never heard
it's
of this. Before.
It's my thing. Michael tried to already.
Well, you can't steal
it.
We just did it this morning for
I
the
don't
first
like
time.
This
the
at
copyright
all.
Is on my desk, I believe.
Yeah, Derbs has it.
Mm-hmm. Derbs,
and we make picks on Friday, right, Mike?
Everybody knows.
But you just
that.
Said we, and you said his, no, he
do.
Can't.
Well, he tried to do. I make my picks on Thursday.
So you were incorporating your co-host.
No. He's a. I told him he could be co-host today if he picked the Broncos to lose a game.
How much money would it take for you to say that the Broncos are going to lose a game?
You want me to go against my Sunday morning orange Kool-Aid?
Just answer the damn question. How much money?
I already offered him $1,000.
But sometimes Monday or Thursday.
First of all, I don't think you
Saturday.
Would give me $1,000.
Well, I didn't really offer
what them. Realistic yeah, amount if true. We each pulled a $20 bill out of our pocket right now and you could make $60 by simply giving us your truthful, honest prediction, would you take it?
17-0 is my truthful, honest prediction.
Seriously, it's broken. It's
I got
broken.
The face.
It
I
is,
got the face.
It is broken. Broken. Have you tried unplugging it and plugging
oh,
it
all
back
the time?
In?
Yes, and it actually comes back worse every time we unplug it and plug it back in. It's very difficult.
You getting over your beard at this point? Are you ready?
It's itchy.
Yeah, it's going into my nostrils.
Well, we're at what, 17? 13 more? It's not bad. That's not bad.
It looked great yesterday.
My face feels yeah. very cold. Yeah. It's very bare.
I'm ready
problems.
To shave it.
I am.
Yeah, I'm ready
aggressively.
To move on.
I'm thinking about this because... Yeah, I'm thinking about when I do it, just leaving, because I think I can grow a handlebar mustache, and I think I'm thinking about just leaving that when it's done.
Okay.
Just for, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Just
you
because.
You should do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be longer than 16 months before I have another child.
Mm-hmm.
Birth not, control.
Yeah.
That mustache could be pretty good birth control.
No.
The history doesn't line up there for you, I don't think. I mean, you guys are probably.
True.
Already
yeah.
do.
Well, who's going to raise the barns? You gotta have the next
the
generation.
The more you have.
You, yeah.
Free, because we know how much you
labor.
Love cousins. You have tons of cousins.
Tons.
And you want to have more cousins.
But that's not...
You want to, there to be more cousins.
I'm not generating cousins.
No, you are generating. You're generating,
I'm generating cousins,
cousins
for my cousins.
Yes, you're doing your part because if you all didn't do that,
I like this. More
you
cousins.
Wouldn't have cousins.
Yeah. For the barn raising.
Right.
And the cows.
Mm-hmm. And more milk for Northern Colorado.
Mm, we don't own.
When do you milk them,
again,
typically?
Most disrespectful thing you could say to me is saying that I am a
So dude. You don't respect people that milk cows?
I didn't say that.
Where, how do you drink milk? If it wasn't for the milkers.
Cold.
Where does the milk come from?
Yeah.
Oh.
The milkers of the world.
You can milk anything.
Yes. Why is it disrespectful to acknowledge
it's
what you do?
Disrespectful.
And milk.
Well, now I'm nervous that there's dairymen listening, so I'm not going to say anything.
Do you get, like, you have those little three-legged stools things that you sit down on, and that's when you milk? And you just
and
have
I'm
buckets?
I'm going to bring it in and hit you over the head with it one
and
of
you
these
put
days.
It into a bucket?
Yep.
Do you ever, like, shoot it into, like, your dogs running around? Mm-hmm.
As, like,
over
a joke? Be like, I'm going to get them?
Yeah.
Obviously, yeah.
Do
obviously.
You do that?
Very good hand impressions by you guys about milking of cows. Doesn't look inappropriate at all.
No. It's fine. Uh-huh. Do you milk?
Have
find
you ever
that-
milked a cow?
Have I?
No, God's honest truth, have you?
No.
Have you? Yeah, you
I've milked a goat. I think I milked
this
a cow.
This guy's milked a effing goat, and he's giving me a hard time over
well,
here.
Well, you've milked a
don't
goat to
get... Don't forget who you are.
A certain goat
don't
that has
forget.
Enlarged udders
yes,
and can't
they start
to feed
they start
the baby.
Getting mastitis,
the
yes.
baby can't get the mouth mm-hmm. there, so you kind of have to get things...
Correct.
You have to get the ball rolling.
100%. I know these things, but don't...
Obviously, you know these things.
Forget,
this is what you do every day.
Don't forget who you are.
No, I definitely
you
forgot
come
that.
From a much more redneck town.
Stopped milking years ago. You still do it and raise barns.
I raise
and
barns.
And you ride a donkey home.
Mm-hmm. Like, well, no, it pulls the wagon.
Right.
it pulls the buggy, you idiot.
Yeah.
God. We have to spin the wheel to get any electricity going.
Faith says, surprisingly, I actually have milked a cow, the non-nature gal.
I LOL. Would have bet a zillion dollars that Faith had never done that.
Michael,
she
have you ever milked
outside.
A cow?
I have not.
All right.
I mooed at a cow once,
I,
and
that
it moved
does,
back.
That also doesn't surprise me.
Sorry, may I? Give me your best beller.
No.
Come on.
$1,000.
Derbs, do it.
Oh! Good Lord.
Come on, Mike.
Can you match that?
Come on, Mike.
I'll do it if you each give me a 20.
No.
No. No. We already told you.
Okay. Just get
come on, Brady. Come on, Brady. Let me hear it.
Moo.
This guy will sit here and say he looks at Rory McIlroy feet pics, but won't do the belly.
Because that's embarrassing.
That, yeah. It's, come on, Mike.
Well, I'm just telling the truth. Rory McIlroy. He's a guy.
He's a
struggling right now.
Is he still? Was he bad today?
Blisty.
Did he make his tee time though?
He did. Yeah.
We were talking about him. Maybe not. Him. Maybe not even trying anymore.
Yeah, he's trying.
Micah.
What? Oh, that was pretty good, Mike. That sounded exactly like a cow. Tanner got excited there about milking.
Yeah.
There's not one around that you can go milk.
Yeah.
Nah. Do you wear overalls when you do it?
When it's cold.
Yeah.
So like right now.
It's not cold out.
Well, it could get cold.
It's pretty cold in here.
Any moment.
No.
Weather can change rapidly.
It's Colorado, Tanner.
Yeah.
Have you been here? Wait around 5 minutes. The weather will change. 49 minutes
you
after.
You told me about that when we were playing 2K.
Yeah. One of my favorite sayings. And we always need the moisture. Just
we do, though.
Well, we do.
Oh, don't get me started on that.
We just always need it.
Cows need to drink.
Yeah. So do I. We'll be right back.
Stampede is almost here. Join Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint for Rodeo Radio this June in Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
All right, what did we learn on this 15th day of May? We learned that Tanner doesn't like anything Jared Bednar has to say, apparently. We learned he's still milking the cows. And
just say something with a little bit of insight.
We learned
don't just be like, oh.
Nothing has changed, and Michael thinks the Broncos are going to win every single game. We also learned that the Avs can get punched in a series and then bounce back, and boy, did they. They got punched quite a bit in Game 5, but found a way back. So, guys, what'd you learn today?
I learned that Michael's not a real person.
Nope.
I learned that the Chargers and the Vikings both have a sense of humor, and I thought they should have, and rightfully did, make fun of the Mike Vrabel, Diana Rossini.
Oh, the NFL allowed it.
Issue. Yeah.
So that was good.
Well, you do declare.
They do declare.
I doth.
That you matent.
You matent?
You matent make fun of thine Diana Rossini and thine Mike
Vrabel.
Vrabel. Yes.
We'll go back to talking like that. I would enjoy that.
Yeah, we will try. Yeah,
we'll bring it back. Good rating.
That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.